It'll be interesting to get the viewpoints of Mick Price, who's going to join us now, because he doesn't have the issues of the international trainers, but I'm sure there would be a few of Mick Price's horses that have had scintigraphy procedures done over the year. So we're very lucky on a race day morning to have Mick Price join us. Good morning, Mick. How are you?
Morning, Brads. How are you going?
Very well indeed. I'm not sure whether you've taken much interest or across the comments from Aidan O'Brien earlier in the week in regards to the likelihood of him not bringing horses out here because of the scintigraphy that they need to go through over there and the nuclear... what was the term he used, Matt?
Medicine.
Nuclear medicine that needs to go through their body. What's your view on that? Is that a reasonable assessment from these international trainers? And have you had scintigraphy on many of your horses?
I don't think it's a reasonable view from that aspect, in that the training of your horse, if you're going to inject it for scintigraphy, you can still get it back into work. The problem will be, I would think, on horses that have done a lot of work, is the diagnosis. Now, the diagnosis has to go from the vets at the BHA to our vets, and then they have to get cleared from that point. I'm not sure what they do with what they call bone bruising or pod lesions, or what's the criteria they're using. Is it specific fracture that may show up? Then there's the scans part of it. There's the practicality of it, the cost. I think in principle, racing VRC are spot on, but as usual, the devil is always in the details. So how you fine tune it, I'm not sure, but if your horse was crystal clear after scintigraphy, I don't think it would be the fact of scintigraphy. I don't think you lose your horse for a week, put it that way. I think it's shorter than that. It's maybe 3 or 4 days. And if the horse came out crystal clean, I don't think it would interrupt your preparation, specific to that reason. The problem will be the signing off and the criteria of what comes out after the examinations, and that's both of them, not just scintigraphy.
So just to clarify in a slightly different way, if you were a trainer at the Curra or Newmarket and you had a horse you thought was a Melbourne Cup contender right now and you've got presented with scintigraphy, MRI/CT scan, assuming you think the horse is sound, would you be prepared to put it through those processes to bring it out here for a Melbourne Cup?
Yeah, okay, so is the question being answered? If the horse fails the criteria of the VRC to bring it out here, does it fail the criteria to continue to race it in Europe? Has anyone answered that?
No, and that's another question that they are seeking answers to, is what are the ripple effects of it? Does it only rule it out of one race? Because Marmello's connections, Mick, you might remember, feared that it might have prevented it running anywhere.
Well, I don't know. Well, I don't know about the specifics of these things, and Marmello never raced again, but the general principle is someone needs to address what happens with the authorities from BHA Vet who look at the information and say, well, it failed the VRC, so they're not going to let it run in the Melbourne Cup. Does it fail also to race in Europe? And you know, you're talking about an owner wanting to do it. Well, if the BHA come out and says, we're going to go down exactly the same line as the VRC and we're going to bar your horse from racing, why would you want to do it?
I know there's a lot of questions surrounding and clarity being sought on hairline fractures, which would come up on this. Now, as a horse trainer, if you've had a horse have a hairline fracture before, how detrimental is that to its future racing in a safe way?
Okay, so a hairline fracture is not whether it is a hairline fracture or whether it's not. Once again, it's measuring the degree of, you know, if you wanted to get technical, the whole basis of shin soreness and the foundation of shin soreness is microfracture of the cannon bone. So where do you draw the line? I think it just needs to be, like I said, assessed from their point of view over there. Then they give the information over here. What is a hairline fracture? You may have a hairline fracture, what they call stress fracture of a pelvis. Your horse can race on and on and on with no problem at all. The bone recovers. It's a hairline fracture, isn't it? It's not a break with screws in it. So it's about assessing exactly what comes out of the information from MRI and scintigraphy. So you can't say, hairline fracture, black or white. It's got to be assessed and in the overall context of the horse. So it is tricky, but as I said, you asked me if you're an owner, would you want your horse to go through it? Say the horse has had 15 starts. They do plenty of work. They work up the hill and down the hill at Newmarket. They do plenty, those horses. So, what is the BHA going to do with the information?
Good question.
Someone needs to come out and fine-tune the detail. In principle, everyone agrees with what the VRC is doing. But in effect and in the detail of it is what needs to be answered a bit better.
And it's imminent that they have to do that, because the week after Royal Ascot is when all the flight bookings and all that sort of thing are generally made. Just before we move on to today, Mick, have you got any cabs in the rank over there? I know you don't usually bring horses out, but have you got an international this year?
No.
One minor one too. Your great mate Peter Moody, he was very passionate the other day when I had a chat to him about the future of Sandown. I'm not sure if you heard what he had to say, but what's your viewpoint? And is Moody, his passion about the retention of Sandown as strong with all other trainers?
Well, I think you'd need to get the MRC to come out and say how advanced they are in the planning. I believe there have been plans drawn up. So if the MRC come out and say that no decision has been made, you need to actually ask them how far down the track. Okay, so now there's a developer's tax on the possibility of $500 million of value on Sandown. So if that's how they value it and they do get their $200 million in tax and they can't redevelop Caulfield because of it, does it still go ahead? I would say that the best compromise that they need to reduce their big wacko plans of developing Caulfield. They could sell some off for residential C at Sandown because they do have an excess of land. They could get some money back and they could keep Sandown alive. So it shouldn't be that they wipe Sandown and make a suburb out of it and build this great kibbutz at Caulfield Racecourse with another track and another night racing or whatever they want to do to beat their chest there. I think they need to strike a compromise. The industry, the MRC own the Sandown track, understand that, but don't they have some sort of moral right, because they're in racing, to maintain a facility that the industry wants them to maintain?
Yep, yeah, yeah. Well, that's the hoop they're going to have to jump through ultimately, is when they say that it's down to their members only, they only need their members' approval. If the Racing Minister, Racing Victoria, and most participants don't agree, I struggle to see how the view of 300 or 400 voting members is going to carry the day. So
I think it'll come down to an industry decision.
Did the members instigate the planning for departmental approval of all the redevelopment of Sandown? Was that a member instigation? No, it was not. It was the committee of the MRC.
There has been some talk, Mick, that if the sale did proceed, some of that money would be used to build another racetrack or facility in Greater Melbourne. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, what with? If they get $500 million, they pay $200 in tax, they spend $300 in Caulfield, what are they going to build it with?
I suppose there'd be support from Racing Victoria.
Well, that's a different issue. I'm just talking about the MRC and Sandown. Mm. I think it's a lot further down the track than anyone thinks. And also, I think they should strike a compromise between selling some of it and maintaining the track for the industry. Aren't we in racing? If they want to be in property development, well, they probably need to be in property development.
Yeah. And where does those race meetings go during the process of that venue being sold?
They'll find somewhere. Not the point. The point is Sandown's a magnificent facility. We want it, the industry wants it, and the MRC look like they're going to do what they want to do.
Mick, just changing tact a little bit, a really good story, a feel-good story that came out of your stable, I thought, earlier on in the week, was that of a horse that won for you called Daneway. Very pleasing to see all those photos of when he was an orphan foal, and I think you put a tear in a few people's eyes with his success the other day.
Well, you know, she's a proper horsewoman, that Barb Ingham. You know, they live on acreage, they raise horses, they breed horses, they race horses. Greg Ingham's obviously very good in the industry also. It means a lot to them. You know, Bella, their kid, Barb's kid, you know, bottle-fed the foal. You know, so they love their horses, they care for their horses, and it's a great thrill to see them grow up and to be successful, you know, when these things happen. So it is a good story, but you know what? It's a story that would happen every breeding season when mares pass away, that they get the care and the love and attention of those that want to nurture the young horses, you know. So, it's a very good outcome.
You actually said something quite funny on a doco on .com the other day about your horse, old horse, your slow old horse Tugboat as well, and you made a very funny line, which I thought was quite quite refreshing. Hey, the one that's got the picket fence today, with all eyes on it, and we sort of haven't been looking at Kurrabooe as closely as we should have, but a picket fence of four wins now. What are we expecting today?
Depends what Jamie Carr wants to do here. Drawn 10 out of 13, and I think the stable made a go across, and D. Oliver's horse, drawn 2, may go. But apart from that, you know, I'd love to see her draw 4 or 5 and end up in a nice spot, but I do, I'm a bit anxious about where she's going to end up, and she does, she can ride them cold, Jamie, you know, so it'll be interesting how the races run. Look, training-wise, the horse is good. You know, we're just taking her through her grades, and this is first or second in this race, he escaped the ballot for the Winter Championship final. So if she is ridden cold, you'll see her motoring home, and I suspect that's what will happen. But it'll be a little bit of joy for anyone up front in that race. But look, she's going great. She's going great. Happy with her, and I think she'll be finishing off strongly.
Obviously, rain-affected ground today.
Won't worry. She went on soft 5. It's a soft 7. It's Flemington. I would say she'll handle it no problem.
You're good at measuring price versus opposition. I mean, you've got the likes of Galaxy Raider and Poncho there today. How? And you mentioned the barrier and decisions that Jamie Carr has to make. And
your degrades is the X factor.
Yeah, and the exactly. And this is probably the hot pot of the day at Flemington. What's your take on all of that with how confident you are, Mick?
Yeah, look, you know, if that mare today came unstuck because of the way the race is run, it wouldn't be a total shock. I mean, you've got to ride your horse around the barrier, and I'm not saying she can't win, but I wouldn't be piling in at the short in case she comes unstuck because of the way the race is run, put it that way.
And the stablemate Staruz is a bit of a nemesis to punters sometimes, bobs up when least expected sometimes. Press forward for Froggy today. If the track's on pacerish, could Staruz be a bit of a surprise packet?
Well, the rail's out 11 metres. He's some flukers, but it'll be his personal best to come across and win a race at Flemington like this. It's something that he hasn't done before anyway.
Mick, you got a few runners at Donald, quite a few that probably are going to start favourite. Is there anything there that you might be able to steer the listeners into at Donald?
Nice horse there called Gunstock, drawn in with Zach Spain on. It might be one to follow. It's a nice horse, and he's working with some nice horses and working well. He might be the one for us at Donald.
All right.
Do you normally take a couple of nice ones to Donald, Mick? Is it a good track to have them get some education at?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a nice track. It's a big open track, and they can finish off. So it's a nice track. Yeah, no problem.
Mick, you've been in Brisbane. I know it's very hard to squeeze in holiday time. Is your trip up there with Ayrton and one or two others, was that effectively your semi-time out for the year?
Yes. Definitely.
And your old boss has got his
and enjoying the sun. And
your old boss has got his first runner up there today for a while, Lee.
Good on him. He's got a couple of mine too.
Oh, has he? Your slow ones now go to the Hall of Fame trainer. There's some irony.
Both of them are not too slow. Don't worry.
Okay.
Hey, Mick, appreciate your time this morning. So it sounds like tread warily. Kurrabooe's got the ability, but the barrier may be a bit tricky, and Gunsmoke might be the smoky at Donald today.
Exactly.